And welcome to the 18th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes podcast about the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes game. I'm your host, Ednar, and I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Coleman. How you doing today, Coleman?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited for my guild. Excited all in general. Let's get this going.
Oh, well, for starters, we'll start off this. How was your holiday week? Did you have pineapple stuffed turkey?
We had turkey, but I had pineapple-covered ahi instead, so we're good.
Fair enough. That's a traditional Hawaiian Thanksgiving, and, you know, I'm proud of you.
If you think so.
Did you have macadamia nuts?
No.
Oh. Wah, wah.
Yeah. Whatever.
So I wish everyone had a good Thanksgiving, but there was a ton of Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes stuff that went on. So we're going to jump straight into what has been going on. We're going to talk about the Dark Side Territory battles. We're going to talk about Territory Wars. But first, we're going to talk about some of the information less content-heavy information that came out today. They released the event calendar for December and the logging character, to no one's shock, was Scavenger Rey. Everyone knows that Rey's journey is coming out. Scavenger Rey is going to be the logging character writing on the wall right there. Mm-hmm. And then they came out with the calendar, and did you have a chance to look at it?
I'm looking at it right now, and there's really no space on this calendar for a Rey event.
Okay. So, for starters, this calendar, it's a very basic calendar for the month. Mm-hmm. If you saw, there actually is, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no legendary event that starts in the month of December.
Which I find kind of curious, because I thought, you know, if anything, BB-8 would be popping back in.
Exactly. Like, that is the flag to me. So, This adds to my conspiracy theory that Rey's journey will not be out until January.
Yeah, and the only thing that's gonna kind of bum your theory out is that all dates are subject to change, and they've done it before.
Yes, but, alright, so here's my theory behind this. Is the movie comes out in 2 weeks. If the Rey's journey, if it contains any form of spoiler to the movie, whether they call her Jedi Rey or whatever they call her, they have to give it significant time after the movie starts, otherwise it's a spoiler. Like, that is what I'm going on, is that Lucasfilm and Disney and all that are like, no, you cannot release Jedi Rey the day the movie comes out, because anyone who watches the movie
won't want to go see it.
Or, like, not doesn't want to go see it, but they're going to go into the movie being like, oh, Rey's going to be a Jedi, or Rey's going to be a Sith. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you know anything about the Star Wars universe and how they do their stuff, it's movies are always first priority.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm, George Lucas, always the movie comes first.
Yep, which it should. Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. So here's the other thing. The month of December, for the majority of people, is a shit show. People are on vacations. People are taking days off left and right. Trying to implement a major event like Rey's journey the second half of December would be a nightmare.
Yeah, no, I think, I really hope your theory's right. It doesn't personally matter to me when it starts, but for a lot of people, getting these veteran smugglers it's a pain.
Yep.
It's taking time. And I understand. I payout farmed them. It took me a while. I'm like, okay, but I'm done. I'm done with the veterans. The very rumored Millennium Falcon that might be needed. You know, I got that 7-star just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to use the dang thing, but, you know, just in case.
You can say damn. It's okay.
No. No, there are some... There might be children listening in the car or whatever.
I'm pretty sure I swore, like, a minute ago. I think good.
That's you. That's not me. I will swear all I want to when I'm out off this podcast.
Okay, fair. But, I mean... I don't. The BB-8 thing is what got me. Like, the no BB-8 event kind of sealed the deal. Because when we had the last the CLS journey, they announced on the thing R2's event on the calendar. Unless, you know, I'm losing my mind.
I'm trying to remember when the CLS event was now.
I think it was August.
You know what? They probably changed the calendar anyway.
Yeah, they would have updated the calendar. So
yeah,
it would take way too much Googling to figure that out. So
yeah,
I'm just... And here's the other thing. Is there's no event that they could knock out. Like, maybe they could have listed Grandmaster Yoda training or Palpatine event, and we get there and they're like, haha, psych, this is actually BB-8. Which one?
There is Grandmaster training.
But that's started today.
But it ends December 6th.
Well, yeah, but they would have to replace the one that's already live.
True. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, good point. Like, I don't see it for the month of December, which
no.
I'm totally fine with. They did also announce today that they will be announcing next week the requirements for Rey's Hero's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced a couple of other things. I'll just say them real quick. There were some issues with Dark Side Territory battles, so everyone gets 500 crystals and 1,100 guild event tokens. Hooray.
No Chewy Shards?
No Chewy Shards.
Oh.
That's another thing we have to talk about. Crap, there's a lot we have to talk about. All right. They also heard the feedback around the difficulty, which we'll talk about when we get to the Dark Side Territory battles.
Oh.
The Territory Wars, FYI out there, next week, they're getting bumped back an hour start time. Playing it easy enough. Hour difference, I don't think many people would have really realized it that much, or it really affects anyone that much.
Well, I mean, it helps the European players and everyone on the Eastern Hemisphere out a little bit better. Yeah. It's just an hour.
Yeah, and then they're adding First Order and Resistance faction packs to help out in Territory Wars. So, another way to make money. I'm okay with this. Ho-hum. By the way, one thing, side note, non-Swugaga related, I was at Costco today, and they have an exclusive Funko Pop 4-pack of First Order characters.
Okay.
It was actually...
Bobbleheads, right?
Those are the little... it's hard to describe Funko Pops. But they have Maskless, Kylo Ren, Snoke, First Order Executioner, and BB-9E.
Oh, BB-9E. I'm looking for BB-9E to come to the game.
Yeah. And that was it was $30 at Costco for all four.
Yeah.
Which is a great deal. So
I'm actually trying to start to collect those a little bit.
I only have three right now. I have Old Man Luke. And then I have Chase, Baze, and Chirrut.
Hmm. Yeah, I got my eye out for the Death Trooper one. I gotta have it.
I've seen it numerous times at my local comic book shop, so...
Okay.
It's out there.
Anyway.
And so that's some of the content update that came out today. Again, we don't know when the Rey's event... This is purely speculation. But from what it looks right now, I'm guessing in January, unless they somehow squeeze it in Like, it probably start. Well, I noticed one day that's free, December 25th. They could just release it on Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
I mean, they did a territory battle on Thanksgiving.
Nothing's off the table anymore.
Why not raise a journey on Christmas? Just saying. But anything else you want to talk about with the event calendar or the stuff that they announced today?
I'm really glad Secrets and Shadows are coming back.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, what did you think of the anniversary? Because we've been gone for like a week and a half because of the holidays. What do you think of the holiday gift or the anniversary gift?
I have zero complaints.
They gave us a full Zeta. Yes. I didn't expect that. They gave us gear.
They gave us good gear.
Not
like blue and yellow. Blue and green stuff.
Yeah.
But like actually useful gear.
And three Chewy shards.
That was the best part.
Like, I had somebody in my guild who I actually work with in real life. And they're like, what was that about? He's like, was that CG trying to screw with us? I'm like, it's a running joke.
It's a very, very long running joke. So when the game started, and I think it was around a time where mods and the Hat Raid got introduced, or mods and the Rancor Raid. It's whenever mods got introduced. They messed up on mods pretty badly. And so they
They messed up on mods. I'm not a mod fan, by the way. Just saying that right now.
Because there's some mods still out there. I bet on some pretty old accounts that have like a plus 50 arrow speed.
I've heard of these where it's plus 30 speed and then plus 20 secondary speed.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard of these.
Yeah, it's insane. So, and they still exist in the game, but they fixed mods. You know, they made them more manageable, less holy crap, what just happened? Like, what are these stats? So they fixed all that. They made a bunch of changes. It helped out, and their apology, instead of the 500 crystals like everyone expected, with crystals or whatever else not, they give us three Chewy shards.
Which at the time, I bet, sent Reddit into a tizzy.
Oh, that was nuts that day. But now everyone's kind of accepted it, and you know, CG did such a good job at, you know, keeping the joke going, and they just joked about it, like, ah, ha, ha, we messed up that day. And it's like, cool, you understand. And now it's a joke. So it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, what they did for us, obviously I wish double drops would have lasted longer.
You don't wish those double drops at all. You wish it was Hondo.
Oh, why? Why you gotta bring that up? Just throwing that out there, rubbing it in my face a little. So mean. You're so mean to me. You and your poor gloving friends on our Discord server.
Yep.
I hate all of you.
Anyone who doesn't know, that entire month, or this entire month, I was teasing him with Hondo stuff, more and more Hondo stuff, that just pointed toward this month releasing Hondo.
You're a real son of a bee. But I digress. I'm still holding out hope that Hondo's coming. I'm holding out hope. So, we're going to move on, and we're going to move on to... Alright, so, we've talked about this. We're going to talk about Dark Side Territory Battles, Territory Wars. And it's a battle of real big highs and real low lows, in my mind. We'll start off with the real low low, in my mind. And that is Dark Side Territory Battles. great in theory. Everyone was super excited when they came out. There were a lot of things wrong when this came out. A lot of things wrong.
I'll agree, there were some things wrong.
I mean, and a lot of it had nothing to do with gameplay. It wasn't polished. Like, for instance, what was it? The Imperial Super Commando. Commander, Imperial Probe Droid. His event. Well, it was still labeled as Rolo.
Yeah.
Like, it's little things like that. Now, I will say that the big hubbub about Darkside Territory battles is the difficulty. Now, they did say that this was going to be a lot more difficult, which I am fine with. But I think they overtuned it.
It's hard for me to say anything about this because I didn't really notice it, but I can see where other people are, and we'll get into that in a second when you're finished. But yeah.
Yeah. So here's my thing: is phase 3 through 6, I'm totally fine with. The difficulty was right up there with what I expected. The only thing I would change, or I thought wasn't that fair, was in phase 6 requiring 7 starships. Or a 7-star capital ship. That's the only thing that I was like, ugh, that's harsh. Considering you had to have a dark side 7-star ship, capital ship, and the event came back for the first time the day of. And if you didn't pay 800 crystals the previous time, you couldn't do it. Like, in our guild, one person could do it. So I was a little bitter, but I'm actually fine with that. My problem is with the first two phases. The first two phases, when you went up against those waves, and you go from light side territory battles phase 1, where you essentially can just auto. Like, auto, it was that easy. To the point where I have a gear 10 and 11 Zeta Maul team. And I got freaking wrecked in phase 1. And it was the most demoralizing thing I've experienced in this game. It's like, okay, I'm in phase 1, what's supposed to be the easiest aspect of the Darkside Territory battles. And it wasn't a slap in the face, but it was more like a, why should I continue to do this when I'm not maxed in gear, but closer than the majority of people, and I can't even beat this. I can't even get through 4 waves. I mean, we didn't have anybody in our guild complete all 4 waves of all the challenge missions in the first phase. And, I mean, we don't have a high galactic power, but we're respectful. We're at 80 million galactic power, which isn't nothing. But a lot of guilds are less than that. A lot of guilds are. And to have them go into it like that and be like, okay, well, we can't even get a star in this. And why should we continue to do this? And then it implodes the guild. Like, they need to tone down the difficulty of phase 1 and 2. Phase 3 through 6, leave as is. With minor tweaks. But phase 1 and 2, I think they need to tone it down dramatically. That's my mini rant for the episode. You there, Coleman?
I'm here.
Okay,
I didn't know if you were done.
No. I'm done with my little mini rant. Like, okay. It's one of those things where it's, I know where you're coming from, but like I've said previously, you're in the minority. Like, you have a very stacked dark side team. And everyone in your guild has a very stacked dark side team. So, better than most.
Surprisingly, better than most. A lot of us went 3 of 4 on a lot of the combat missions.
Exactly, but... And you guys are higher geared than the majority of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you're one of the top 10 guilds in the world?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we're number 20 or 19 right now.
And if the majority, like, if, let's say half the people in your guild didn't go 4 and 4 in all of them. Let's just say that. If the top, a guild in the top 10 in the world can't go 4 or 4, what signal does that show to the rest of the Galaxy of Heroes community? Like, if I was going on Reddit and seeing Team Instinct or Dark Lords or whoever, and they're like, we didn't even go 3 or 4, and you know they're whales, and you're a free-to-play player, what signal does that send the free-to-play player that even if I spend money, I can't do good at this?
That's where you're coming from.
It was very, very demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I want to quit the game demoralizing, but it's more like I want to do good, but I don't know how much more I can put into it to make myself good if people better than me are still not even doing as good.
Mm-hmm. So now I guess you all know where I sit a little bit, coming from where I'm going to be looking at this from, is that I had no issues taking all these combat missions. I've wiped the floor with them. There's two issues I have with Dark Side Territory battles. I guess three. Make that three. I thought of the third one. Number one is, yes, you're right, Ednar, in that the phase 1 and 2, they need to be toned down a little bit for other players. I personally don't care. It was fun. Secondly, don't lock the combat missions.
No.
Do not stop. Like, just
lock. Lock deployment.
Yes, I'll agree. You can lock deployment, but please don't lock combat missions. As weird as that sounds, I missed out on two days of ship battles, and it dropped my score down to where it looked like I messed up on some combat missions. I'm like, I didn't mess up. I just missed a couple days because fleet got filled up super quick, like always.
Yeah, fleet got, even in our guild, like, fleet got filled up super quick. Like, yeah, don't lock it completely, just lock deployments.
Yeah, and that's more of a suggestion to CG, and it's got nothing to do with the guild officers or leaders. They can't lock it themselves, but the game itself locks out the phases.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it hits 3 stars, so that's just more of a suggestion than anything.
Now, here's one thing, does it also, like, we didn't have this problem because, well, again, we're not that good. But does it also, it doesn't lock you out from special missions too, does it?
No, you can always do special missions.
Okay, like, I was going to be like, because if that's the case, then, whew, something needs to get fixed like yesterday.
Special missions are always available, even if it's 3-star. You can always go back and click on it if you haven't done it yet.
Okay.
But the combat missions are actually a lot more important to people than I think what CG realized is that the numbers in guilds and their competitiveness, it matters. It matters a lot.
Yeah, it really does. Like, as petty and as stupid as it may sound, yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're competing with each other, like, okay, who's got the best teams out there? Who's got the best hold on this thing? You look, and it's like, if someone like me missed six or eight battles, it made me look like I'm an idiot and didn't complete combat missions.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. This week was skewed due to another bug.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the platoon bug, which I think has since been fixed.
Yeah, and there was they did come out with an announcement saying, like, if you exploit this, we will find you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I did it on accident once.
Yeah, no. But if you did it on accident, they don't mind about
like,
that.
If you're like, oh my god, this person accidentally deployed one extra ship, they're not going to be like, banhammer, boom. But if you did, like, 30...
You're like, they're going to look at you like, what?
Be like, I feel you figured this out, and screw you.
Yeah, you exploited this.
Yeah. Now...
Which I don't mind that if they took action on, because they did bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah. No, I they should have. They should have banned them or done whatever to them. Those who exploited it. But now, how did you... Like, this is something Dave, who couldn't be with us tonight, had mentioned that the tuning of the actual characters, the rebel characters that we face off against.
Oh, no, you mean the demigods.
Yes. Insane. Like, it was insane.
That was a little nuts. Because there were times where I had the entire enemy team in the red bar. And all of a sudden, I think the officer or somebody got a turn, and I was like, they have full health and protection again. What just happened?
Yeah. And that goes back to the difficulty thing. I mean, it really does. I think I remember my first battle in Phase 1 combat mission, and I had my Zol team in there, and I get to the fourth phase, because the first three phases are like, you roll, ruffle stomp them. Like, you just roll through them. And then you get to that last one, and then there's six elites.
And you just want to take your squad and walk right back.
Yeah, and be like, And then I got, like I said, like, with you, I got a lot of them down. I think I got one killed, I got another one down, and I still had my full team. And then they heal back to full, and then they dispel, and then they all counter, and then they do this AoE that takes away 100% protection and 90% of your health.
Yeah, just that airstrike. It's the same airstrike.
What the
we
hell
have
just
fully
happened?
Maxed.
Yeah, it's
so in light side territory battle, we get the rebel airstrike, and that's what they're using on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, no.
Now that also raises another problem, and that is the platoons. Which gives you the bonus effects.
And takes away the bonus effects.
And takes away. It. I expected to see Unmask Kylo.
Yeah,
absolutely. I expected to see them. To not be able to complete any platoons. Like, your guild probably was still able to complete some. My guild couldn't, we in phase 4, 5, and 6, we completed a total of 2 platoon areas. Because we don't have 4, 5, and 6 star zombies on Mask Kylo.
Yeah.
Like, you were needing like 4 or 5 of these in each zone.
And yeah, in each platoon you'd need one.
And, like, there was one where we needed 3 5-star zombies and 2 unmasked Kylos and I think 2 of the Night Sister spirits in one. And I'm like, how?
Like, the spirit and the zombie killed everyone.
Like, and it was in all 6 of the platoons. So you couldn't even, like, in phase 4, 5, and 6... You couldn't even get that extra help from platoons, and you won't be able to for the foreseeable future. If you don't already have it now, you will not get it for the foreseeable future. Plain and simple.
Which kind of another beef is that I think they released it too early.
They did. There's too many bugs.
No, I was going to mention there's not enough Darkseid characters for this.
No. I ran out.
Yeah, the very last, I think, the very last day six. Or is that right, day six?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I nearly ran out of ships because I donated most of them.
Yep. Like, if you want any chance at platoons and finishing your combat mission, you better have every Darkseid character available at mm-hmm. 7 stars. And if you don't, you're mm-hmm. going to run out of characters.
Absolutely.
Like, I couldn't donate... Like, I actually could not platoon one single Darkseid character. Because if I did that, I couldn't do combat missions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a common sentiment across the majority of my guild.
Yep.
And this would have been better served in, like, February.
I was going to say somewhere after the Ray event, possibly.
Yeah, which end of January, February, somewhere like that.
Oh, yeah. Middle of January, early January, somewhere in there. I would have rather seen it.
Like, you would have worked out the kinks and the bugs,
mm-hmm.
the difficulty, and you would have had more time to let people farm Darkseid characters that, honestly, are the hardest in the game to farm. Like, yeah, I'm learning that right now. Like, I bought the $100 crystal pack for the anniversary, because that's just such a good deal. And I essentially used that to get 2 Darkseid characters to 7 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that still didn't even make much of a dent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you have to farm hard nodes to get viable characters.
Yeah, and I think when we're done talking about our issues with this, I'll go over a quick to-do list of characters you want to get for Darkseid territory.
Yes, we're almost done with the I wouldn't call it negative, but the critique of Darkseid mm-hmm. territory battle. So we'll start being more positive soon. I promise, mm-hmm. we will be more positive soon. But yeah. Go ahead, Coleman.
The thing, I think what I was going to say was, you made me lose my train of thought.
I have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, you made me lose my thought. Oh, it was a good one, too. Oh, now I remember. Okay. My thing would have been, for Darkseid territory battle, if it needed to take a little longer, all they had to do was just say, hey, Darkseid territory battles are coming soon, be sure you're ready, we're finishing up are the last-minute adjustments to this game mode. And I would have been fine. I would have been like, okay, they're working on a quality push, and they're making sure it rolls out correctly. I can live with that. Great post. Thank you for informing me.
Yeah. And that would have made everyone happy.
Yeah, everyone would have been like, cool. No, we're good. We got an update. Cool.
So, and now I will say this, transitioning over to the positive, is the characters that they released with this.
Oh, the characters.
The characters they released, not impossible to get.
Very good.
Yes, they can be a little bit of a grind, but not a horrible grind.
And very good.
All 3 of them are real good. Yeah. So, I don't actually personally don't have any of them unlocked, although I'm like 75 of 80 on Stark. Mm-hmm. So I almost have him unlocked. I do not have Droid unlocked because no one in my guild has Stark unlocked.
We got our one pro Droid shard because of me.
Yeah, we don't have that. And nobody in our guild has Wampa yet, but I know people who have Wampa.
Yeah, and it's still going to be 5-star. It's still incredibly hard, but these guys have been saving for a while.
Yeah, like one of the hosts over at Shattered Order, he actually has, I think it's Goodnight Punk, he has two accounts in their guild. And they run a pretty successful guild. Like, high collect power. And his A account, he saved up all his stuff, and he spent it all on Hoda. His B account, he had saved up, not spent a dime of his guild, the guild currency, until the Dark Side character came out. So he bought Wampa from the day it came out, and he unlocked him and took him to Gear 11 the other day, and it was real interesting.
Yay! One word, yay or nay?
Yay.
Okay, that's all we need to hear.
Like, all right. I will say this: if you are going for purely gameplay character, I say you go Wampa over Hoda. If you're planning on, how do I put this? If you're planning on getting a character that might help you unlock a future character.
Hint,
next.
Grain of salt.
Yes. Hint, next Luke Skywalker event. Unlock Hoda.
You know, unless for some reason they break in, they throw us old man Luke and we need all porgs.
Fuck you. I hate you. So, alright, but Wampa, everything I've seen from Wampa has been great. Mm-hmm. You don't have first-hand experience with Wampa.
Nope.
But you do have first-hand experience with the other two.
I do.
So, explain to us. We'll start with Imperial Probe Droid. How are you liking it? How does it work well with other things? Give us a rundown of them.
I love it. It is, without a doubt, one of my favorites now. It can do it all.
Now
on Solo or Qui-Gon teams have all these Yoda foresight buffs, or these CLS Han teams have all these weird and Kenobi buffs. Whatever, it just goes zoop, gone.
Now, what team are you running him in? Like, what are you surrounding him with?
It's the same thing as what. But Arnold's video was, it's Tarkin, Emperor Palpatine, Thrawn. I thought he said Emperor Palpatine, didn't I? Yeah. Shore Trooper. No, I'm sorry, Death Trooper. And Imperial Probe Droid.
Okay. Now, but the Probe Droid has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's been absolutely a lot of fun. Because you get it going, or you just use Emperor Palpatine and his little health drain special, send the probe droid off to self-destruct, and then it's an insta-death. Unless it's a fully Gear 12 Wampa with full health and protection, up.
Okay, now, have you tested the probe droid out with Palpatine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, is that really viable, or does it... Like, the worry I have with the Pro Droid and Palpatine is, yes, you can take out one person right away, but then you're also down someone.
Oh, yeah, no, don't leave it overnight on defense. It'll get wrecked.
Well. Oh, yeah.
It is purely just unimaginable fun watching that Pro Droid go off and just blow up something immediately.
Like, if you need to quickly take one away from someone, throw Imperial Probe Droid and Palpatine in.
It is a pretty much non-losing offensive team.
Yeah, but I can see how on defense it'd be just god-awful.
Mm-hmm. So, although Probe Droid could be annoying on defense.
I guess I don't know. How's the AI?
I'm still working out teams, and he's still a little bit too weak because I'm focused on the other guy.
Yes, which is the next one. The one who last week we both agreed on would be the weakest of the three. And that is not the case.
Oh my god. I didn't imagine what he would do.
Okay, so we're talking about Colonel Stark. Or how else can you refer to him as?
The Cage of Nicholas?
Yes, the Cage of Nicholas. Or the National Treasure... slash the Rock, slash...
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, slash... got what are some? He has like thousands of movies. What the 80 hell?
80 billion freaking movies.
What's the Arizona movie? The Arizona one, Gone in 60 Seconds. Colonel Still. Gone in 60 Seconds. That is his new name.
Yeah.
So, tell us about
on Hoth. He pretty much showed up for 60 seconds, died by Luke Skywalker, yeah. And then just
because his nitro boost in the AT-AT just it didn't work.
Yeah,
the nitro boost failed, and that's why Colonel Gone in 60 Seconds died.
Well, see, Colonel Stark, he escaped the crash, and then he flew. Like he escaped the planet. And then it crashed course into our galaxy.
Mm.
So we that's and how then, we got Nicolas Cage.
And then he had to rescue Sean Connery from a prison.
Yes! Oh my god, someone
while,
gets it!
While also trying to find the original Declaration of Independence. It blows my mind that...
You know this too well.
That Star Wars...
It all fits! It all fits!
So, all right, tell us about Colonel Gone in 60 Seconds.
Okay, so I now have him at, you might make fun of me for this, but you can go ahead. He is 7-star gear 12.
I'm not going to make fun of you. Well, all right, I'll make fun of you because you're a whale, and I'll harass you for that, but I, from what I've heard, this is not a bad investment at all.
No. So first of all, you need him for Dark Side Territory battles. So that's everyone's going to be going after him for a little bit.
Okay. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Everyone should be going after him in Guild Store.
Yeah.
Every time he's up.
If you see the Shards, grab him.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I have thrown him in with troopers.
Now,
and
who did you replace?
As far as the regular old Xenobeers-led trooper team?
Yeah.
So I replaced I replaced Magma Trooper at first.
Okay.
And it's a great team, but it'll go faster if you take out Stormtrooper.
Okay. Now, taking out Stormtrooper, that's kind of what you recommend?
For territory battles, yes. For arena, no.
He may be great in territory wars. Is he great in arena?
I'm running the test right now. I'm on day 3?
Okay.
Day 3 of him in my arena team.
And is he holding up?
So, at night, when I go to bed, I'm sitting at 1, right?
Okay. That's good. I mean, you're doing fine so far.
With Colonel Stark, I'm sitting at 1, or 2, depending on whose payout it is, because we have some people in Japan and Europe, they take payouts, I'm fine with it. So I'm normally sitting 1 or 2, and when I wake up in the morning... No, so far I have not gone lower than 5.
Okay, and you think it's all because of the Gone in 60 Seconds guy?
Yeah, but I'm not running a Veers-led team.
Okay. What's your arena team then?
Thrawn, Veers, Death Trooper, Stark, and Stormtrooper.
Okay.
And in case you're still not familiar with Stark, he massively boosts Imperial Trooper armor penetration.
Which is something, it's not new, but it's something that we've all kind of ignored.
Ignored, and we shouldn't have.
I wouldn't say we shouldn't have, because it's more along the lines of, till now... It really wasn't a thing?
Yeah. I would say until... When CLS and Han Solo got the reworks, that's when it became a thing.
Yeah.
Because with any character above this 120, 125 threshold of armor penetration, they're the ones doing the big damage.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at him on Swogaga, and his armor penetration is only 61.
101.
Huh. Okay, then something's off here.
He's an Imperial Trooper, so he gains an extra 50.
Oh, he does. Okay. I'm just looking at his base, his stats.
So. Yeah. And that's why...
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing his Zeta.
Yeah. So that's why you're not seeing, like, his big damage, is because he's not above that 120 threshold.
Hmm.
And that's why everyone's like, oh, he hits like a wet noodle, when he can actually hit for 15,000.
Okay.
But people like Death Trooper, who already have 90 armor penetration, which is now being bumped up to 160.
Yeah, that's a big bump.
My Death Trooper is hitting for about 42,000 and 20,000 on basic hits.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
And against these CLS Titan meta teams, it hurts. And it takes Han away pretty fast.
Yeah. Oh, God, I want him.
The other part is when you run with Veers, on enemy death, he grants offense up, and if you have a Zeta, 50% turn meter. So pretty much, oh, hey, I just took out either General Kenobi or Han Solo. That's my general kill order. I get to go again with all my team.
Yeah.
And by the way, Thrawn's fracturing. He's not gaining turn meter either, because all these guys are just getting specials off all the time.
So basically, you just get to constantly go.
Mm-hmm. I get to go and go and go.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker, though, and it's something I didn't catch until battle, like, two or three with him, is that... So when you're using the Thrawn lead, the Zeta Thrawn lead, you're regaining protection back for each status effect you gain, correct?
Yes.
Colonel Stark gives you 2. And it happens a lot because he's fast.
Oh, the crit chance up and crit damage up?
Mm-hmm. It refreshes pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Team. Yeah, because he really gets 20% turn meter. Mm-hmm. Well, really, he gets almost 50% turn meter every time he uses that in territory battles, because each rebel enemy he gets 5% turn meter as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's going all the flipping time.
Yep. So, and that's going to be toward the end of the show when we do the little, like, okay, these are the teams you should probably be making for dark side territory battles.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to save that for when we go over who to farm, what teams to get. What else is there anything else we want to say about dark side territory battles?
No, I think that we just about covered it.
Okay. I want to move on to, so we talked about kind of the low. Now I want to talk about the real high. And that is Territory Wars. Territory Wars, we are not finished with our first Territory War, but we're essentially finished.
Yeah.
And I will be the first to admit I was a cynic about them. I did not have high hopes going into these.
Well, you're not the only one, though. A lot of us were worried that this is going to be just a pain to deal with.
And it takes away from our off days of territory battles. It means we don't have any downtime, stuff like that. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love every aspect of it. I have literally nothing bad to say about Territory Wars. One single thing is bad. The tracking, awesome. The amount of... How do I put this? The amount of interaction you have... Like, we talked about this pre-show. my guild hasn't been as active in the past 6 months as it has been today. Because everyone's going back and forth, being like, all right, these guys, like, and this may be a simple fact of we're winning. Like, my guild's winning, and we're winning pretty handedly. Like, last I looked, I think we had double the points of the other team. So it's like, it's a blowout. So yeah. we're looking at even closer. We're looking at not only our teams going in, but we're looking at how they're doing against our teams. And no offense to the other team, we're trash-talking the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. It's one of those things where our whole guild is like, okay, I just took out this team, mess up the rest of the team.
Yeah, and it's like, if they were to add... I have a couple suggestions for... I love it to death, too, but a couple things that bother me, and we'll get to it. But yeah, if they were to add, like, a little chat in the middle, like, you're in the expanded view, and you got the little chat between both guilds going on, yeah.
That would be awesome. I can see why, like, logistically, that would be almost impossible to do.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it'd be fun.
It'd be real nice. it'd be real nice. But it's... The way they work the reward systems, at first you're just like, well, who cares? I mean, honestly, the difference between winning and losing is nothing. So who really cares about territory wars? Not even going to try that hard, not going to do much. And then it's changed over now as to how fun it is. It's kind of the same, it's the same reasoning, but different attitude. Like, it's more like, all right, screw it, let's go all in. If we lose, we lose. Who cares? We're still gonna get some good prizes, but at least we had a great time doing it.
Yeah, no, today was a lot of fun. Like, because, you know, when you pull up, you can see, like, who's battling who. And mm-hmm. If it's the last battle in that little territory, like, your entire guild is pretty much cheering you on, like, you got this.
And God help you if you did, if you don't beat it. Because that happened twice tonight, where, like, the last team was getting battled, and then we're like, oh, sweet, awesome, we're in the last battle, and then we go back in, and we're like, you didn't beat it, did you?
You lost.
No. You lost.
it has been a lot of fun today.
And then you sit there and you judge the other teams. You're like, why are they putting this crap team in my face? I'm gonna take my Ewoks. By the way, Ewoks. Oh, sorry, no, Jawas. Don't put Jawas in defense. I'm sorry. They're effing horrible.
Hey, look, you've got to throw some like CD teams inside that thing.
Put a D level 70 team over Jawas. They're just god awful. What was it? Somebody in our guild posted he tried to take on just CLS. Just him. With a full Jawa team. And got smoked. And the CLS was on defense. So the AI was controlling them, and they just got smoked.
See, AI knows how to use CLS. I'll give that to the AI.
But, well, that's because both his specials are legit awesome. So it's one of those things where I haven't had this much fun in the game in a long time. And
this, yeah, I love this.
Me personally, I said this before, I wish this replaced territory battles. Extend it. You could easily extend this over like a 3-4 day period and get rid of territory battles, and I would be so happy. Now I know that will never actually happen. Ever, but you know, that's how much I like this, and I'm usually the negative Nancy in the group, at least on Discord I am. And I don't have anything negative to say. Now, you did mention one thing that could be tweaked to give you more of an incentive, and I'll let you explain what that is.
All right, so I think from today, pretty much, everyone's getting the feeling that almost every single guild battle ended up in a tie.
Yes and no. I mean, at your level, probably, yeah. At my level, no. Like, honestly, no. Like, the guild we're facing, like, we look them up. Like, we stalked them on Swigga. And, you know, they have one less member. And they're within 500,000 galactic power of us. But it's a matter of they went what I can only assume is heavy offense. And we went heavy defense. And we're smoking them. So, like, if you don't have the teams... If you don't have the depth that you do, you kind of have to go heavy defense and hope your offensive teams are good enough. Because we're, like, my guild is not going to complete all of the zones.
Okay. All right, then.
Totally just threw a wrench into your thoughts.
But in the event of a tie, I do think that there needs to be defensive banners awarded.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought of that. Like, what actually occurs for a tie? Do you both get the win?
We both get the loss.
You both get the loss. Okay. Lame.
And, yeah, right? And to see us kind of, like, steamroll a team throughout the entire day, and we're done first... And then we end up tying. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I think they should give you points if your, like, defensive team beats one of the offensive teams.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a lot of points either. It can be like 2-5.
Yeah.
Like a quarter or half of what you normally get for an offensive attack.
Yep, and then that gets rid of all ties.
For most ties, anyway.
Yeah, and like 99.9% of them.
Yeah, there's always going to be a tie.
Yeah.
Somehow or some way, there will always be a tie.
Yeah. I think that's one thing they could change. It's not going to make or break this game mode for me. It's something that could help the higher-end guilds.
Yeah. Because we're sitting there, and we're, like, today, my friend... Smack in the guild, he made an awesome Night Sister team, and the opposing guild threw, like, I don't know how many teams at his Night Sisters, and they just kept they kept defending and winning. They would not go down until finally someone took out one of them, and they just felt like dominoes after that, like normal. But
yeah, I mean, we had the same thing. I mean, obviously, we don't have the same power as you, but we had a Zeta Savage that just held its own and took out a bunch of offensive teams. Like, and you don't get... I mean, you get rewarded for that because the other team runs out of offensive teams to use. But in a guild, when you're going guild to guild, like in yours... case, they have a lot more teams to throw at them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no. Yeah.
But, yeah, the best thing they did with this is they made the rewards so close together.
Yeah. And I've got to give it to them. This would be a whole lot more chaotic if we didn't have these new officer tools.
Yes. Putting in commands, putting in just...
Like blocks, like, hey, don't attack here.
Yeah, I mean, our best use was actually when we were setting up defensive teams.
Yeah, no, it really helps.
Like, it's like, all right, put your Xeris teams here. Put your Zol teams here. Like, put this team... Like,
yeah, we did it by...
Defense is where it worked best for us.
We did it by, like, best defensive, second best defensive, and then, like, least defensive.
Yeah. And that's going to be a huge... And a lot of this is actually trial and error. Like, mm-hmm. do you want to put your best defensive teams at the end? Or do you want to put them at the beginning? Because at the end, at the end, technically, that's where they can get the most points.
Yeah, because, you know, there was an open beta and everyone got to play inside it. But let's face it, who took it seriously?
Yeah, and, like, it's not like you had weak guilds or... Like, the people who went on and joined the beta are people who probably have a fairly high galactic power. You're not talking people... Well, the majority of them probably don't have 800,000 galactic power.
They could have, though.
They could have, but probably didn't. But, I mean, it's just... they knocked this out of the park. Plain and simple for me. I've been playing since before Ships. Well before Ships, but Ships was the first new game mode that came in since I've been here. And Territory Wars is hands down the best game mode they've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least.
Yeah. Anything else about Territory War?
I mean, I don't really have anything else. They're probably going to tweak it a little, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about it once we play it a few more times and we have more of a strategy. But I know we wanted to enjoy
it while you can, because some of the most fun in a game is running into a new game mode blind.
That also. And now, granted, both of us are super high on this, but we're winning. This may go away we're losing.
I've now tied.
You have tied. Okay. But, like, if you were losing, let's say, that might change your feelings a little.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I still don't think it will be, like, I hate this. Screw this.
I do think if they add banners for defensive wins, it'll make it a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. I think it will, too, because it'll put a bigger emphasis on strategic defensive teams.
Yeah, I agree. It'll make you think more. And let's face it, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to talk real quick about what defensive... Or not defense. Sorry, I'm in Territory War talk.
Yeah, you're good.
What dark side teams... we should be going for, or what dark side characters we should be going for. So, Coleman, I'm going to let you start on this, because you're kind of the expert on this. If you were to start, let's say you're starting fresh, no dark side characters whatsoever, what are the two teams you're going for?
Imperial Trooper.
Which is?
General Veer's Zeta Unique. And General Veer's leader, which is not Zeta, it's just Omega for his leadership. Death Trooper, Snow Trooper, Storm Trooper, and, you know, the last one's up to you. You can run Magma, you can run Shore Trooper. Or, if you have him, Stark. I suggest Stark.
Okay. And then, who would be your number two team?
My number two team is a little different. When he's available, I say go all in after him. And you're not going to like me for saying this.
Oh, God.
Unmask Kylo.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you for saying it. It's just not something the majority of us can
accept. Yeah, no, and I gave you a warning that when he becomes available, go after him.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
He defines First Order now.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that they also have crazy buffs.
And that's where Unmask comes in, because you're not able to pretty much do anything with First Order unless you have Unmask Kylo now.
No, you really aren't. Like, they were decent before, but they weren't arena viable.
Mm-hmm. So, and what you don't realize is that his leader, when a First Order ally gains a status effect, they recover 5% health and 5% protection.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot. Because you're constantly throwing advantage, offense up, tenacity up, retribution, defense up, taunt, everything, all around everywhere.
Okay. Now, if you were to suggest two or three characters, who would you suggest?
Aside from the teams I just named?
I'm not even saying aside from the teams. If you were just to focus on two or three specific characters.
Ooh. Two or three specific characters. I would have to say Zam Wessel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For now. I'm hoping this is don't look into this at all. Don't, like, you take it with a grain of salt, whatever, I don't care. But hopefully they will do a bounty hunter pass after once Ray gets here. I pray they need it so badly. They suck.
Okay, you have me very perplexed by this Zam Wessel. But, I mean, I get it. She's a bounty hunter.
I can explain.
All right, please do.
So, pretty much 100% of the time, you're going to be running Boba Fett leader with bounty hunters.
Oh, yeah. I don't get why you would use anybody but Boba. Yeah.
Okay, so Boba's leader reads all allies gain 50% crit damage and 10% critical chance. Bounty Hunter allies gain 15 speed for each debuffed enemy and gain max health equal to 50% of the total potency of all Bounty Hunter allies and gain 15% turn meter whenever a thermal detonator explodes.
Okay. I get where you're going. Like,
so Zam, her special, See What Sticks, she tries to place the thermal detonator on everybody. So there's debuffed enemies, and now you have the possibility of a thermal detonator on them.
Yeah.
And she's fast.
She is. I mean, here's the thing is, one thing we didn't say about the Dark Side Territory battles is the whole bounty hunter faction and the special missions for bounty hunters is insane.
Give us a rework.
Like, it is ridiculously hard.
I don't know how they expect most, if any, to complete it with what we have.
So, like, any bounty hunter at this point is going to help your overall dark side team.
Yeah, because the point 0.0001% of SWOG has good bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm. I've actually ran into an all gear 12 bounty hunter team in Arena. They were in, like, you know, oh sorry, yeah, not in Arena, in Galactic War. I ran into
it. Yeah, the point 0.00001.
And I was just like, what is this shit? Get this out of here. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to auto-pass your whole team.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just not.
They need a faction pass rework, whatever you want to call it, badly.
Uh-huh. Maybe a new character or two. Just say
Bosk.
Embo.
Bosk.
Either or.
Bosk.
Well, I'll give you Bosk.
Bosk.
Hondo.
Bosk.
I said Bosk.
Bosk.
Bosk. Okay.
CG, if you're listening, this is a hint. Bosk.
No, Hondo. If CG's listening and they're taking hints, you're putting GD Hondo in the game.
Ugh.
Screw everything else.
Everyone loves Bosk so much more.
No.
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Hondo married Maz Kanata, and that's how Maz got Luke's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
I am writing the Star Wars canon right now.
Yep. Okay, so back to what I was saying. Zam's Zam doesn't end there. So pretty much when she has all those thermal detonators, she's got a ton of speed from all those debuffed enemies. But on her basic, she forces whatever thermal detonators are on that opponent she attacks with her basic to explode.
Mm-hmm.
So that grants turn meter. And the second part of it is Zam gains 20% turn meter for each living scoundrel ally. So she's going to go again, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, she has a good kit. It just needs to be buffed.
She needs to be geared, let's face it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole bounty hunter faction. It's just,
yeah.
I can't outside of Boba, I can't suggest bounty hunters to anyone because they're just all so bad.
Yeah, but we're talking dark side territory battle specifically. Yeah.
So. Now, I will say IG-88 can be key.
Can be.
Because of his healing immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Healing immunity is kind of like the dark side's version of daze for the light side territory battles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, daze was huge for light side territory battles. And I think healing immunity is going to be huge for dark side territory battles.
Yeah. Now the second one, I guess, it's, if you're going after anyone, does Thrawn count?
Yeah.
Okay, because Thrawn across my guild was a big superstar.
Same in my guild.
Yeah. For dark side territory battle, Thrawn was the man.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are my two.
I have actually two other ones, but they go hand in hand. The first one is Krennic.
Okay.
Krennic lead is one of the most underrated leads in the game, and it shows in Darkseid territory battles.
It's not underrated, it's just that in Arena,
underused. Underused, I'll say.
What most people go by is Arena. So Krennic's leader relies on critical hits, right?
Yep.
And who's been around for a while now that stops that?
Why am I drawing a blank on this?
You should know, you just got him a while ago.
Oh, Kenobi.
Yep.
Kenobi
stops Krennic in his tracks.
It does. But you're not going up against Kenobi in this. So
Nope. That's
why I think it's underused is a better word for his lead. Like, people just haven't been using it because of Kenobi. So he's one of my all-stars because his team, a Krennic-led team, is ridiculous. But to go with Krennic, I'm going to also put Death Trooper.
I can't argue with Death Trooper. I love Death Trooper.
And Death Trooper with Krennic is a ridiculous wombo combo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those two together, awesome. Just awesome. So those are my two.
Especially when you're crazy like me and have, like, every Empire Zeta.
Yeah. I actually got, like, in the past week and a half, after I bought the crystals and got Death Trooper up to 7 stars, and then up to gear 11 as well. Almost at 12. I think I'm one piece away from 12. And I couldn't be any happier.
Mm-hmm. He's a really good all-around character.
Yeah. So, do you have any other two characters you'd want to suggest for Dark Side Territory battles?
I'm pretty sure Shore Troopers on everyone's list already.
Yep, Nihilist is probably on everyone's list.
Put a very big circle around Snowtrooper.
And Veers.
Veers. Well, I think didn't we already go? Yeah, Veers was already
Veers,
mentioned.
But like that, for individual characters, Veers and Snowtrooper are huge because they fit into so many of the specialty teams that you need throughout the territory battle.
That, and Snowtrooper hits like a truck.
Yeah, and it's been said a million times before, Snowtrooper is the dark side version of Lando.
Mm-hmm.
the AoE, it's just, yeah. So just they're just
good. You don't want to go up against it.
Nope. But yeah, that's, I mean, other than that, I don't think there's much out there.
If you can get Night Sisters, I suggest Night Sisters because they do really well. Yeah. But that's iffy.
Yeah, and I don't think you can anymore. Are their packs gone?
Hang on, I got the game open right now. Wow, there's a lot of packs out right now.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Yep, they are gone.
Okay, yeah, so you can't even get them now. So, too bad, so sad?
Yeah, too bad, so sad.
So, other than that, I think that's about it for the show, unless you can think of anything else.
Hopefully Dave's back next week.
Oh yeah, we'll get Dave back next week. I'll harass him. Make sure he's on.
We miss him.
We miss him. Yay. But I guess that will do it for our 18th episode. If you would like to reach out to us, come join us on our Discord. There's lots of pork memes against my best wishes. Pork memes, and I'm starting to introduce Jar Jar stuff. So come join us on Discord.
It's not taking much effect, though.
No, it's not. But I'm still going to keep posting them. So come join us on our Discord. I'll post that in the show notes, as well as it's sticking on the top of our Twitter page. And our Twitter page is at RFA Podcast. Easy enough to find. And until next time, thanks for listening, Coleman. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Edward, thank you. This is always fun.
Yep. Have a good one.